Welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for TTM autograph collectors, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion, and by thetrovesportsden.com. Come and hang out and chat with baseball pros online. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 40 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I am your host of the program. It is Sunday, November 1st. Hopefully everyone had a great Halloween last night. We actually got zero trick-or-treaters. It had snowed here in Massachusetts on, Friday, and it was really cold, and I don't know, we just didn't get any trick-or-treaters last night. So happy Halloween to everyone. Hopefully you had a good Halloween. Remind you to listen to my TTM trick-or-treat podcast that I recorded last week, and we have some TTM trick-or-treat stories from fellow collectors that we talked about last week. But this week we're turning the page. We're on to November. It is November 1st, and we have a fun interview with super Red Sox collector Mark Hoyle. Mark is on Twitter at MarkHoyle4. I recommend you guys follow him. We talked to Mark about the Red Sox, about collecting autographs and his vast Red Sox collection. So hopefully you enjoy our interview coming up. If you have any feedback, questions, concerns, comments, please send them to me at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, my email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. I am on Twitter at castttm. I am on Instagram at ttmcast. I am on numerous Facebook groups posting all the time. My podcast is available anywhere podcasts can be found, including TuneIn, where if you have an Alexa device, while you're on Spotify, on Google, on Podbean, on iTunes, on Stitcher. So anywhere podcasts can be found, please spread the word. Let people know what we're doing. If you enjoy this show, if you enjoy collecting, if you enjoy autographs, if you enjoy TTM. So that is what we talk about on this podcast. We also have a forum on sportscardforum.com, so check that out as well. And now on to our first segment, which is Baker's Dozen, which is kind of a brain dump of what's been going on in the hobby for the past week. Next week, we will have a show. Our next show will be next week, next Sunday, November 8th. I'm very happy talking with Johnny Newman from the host of Sports Card Nation podcast. We're going to interview him on Tuesday, and we will play that show on next Sunday. I just want to congratulate my Los Angeles Dodgers for winning the World Series finally after since 1988. The Dodgers have not won, so very happy for the Dodgers getting a win over the Tampa Bay team. The World Series is actually pretty good this year, even though we had COVID problems and everyone was in a bubble, but it was still a very enjoyable series to watch. So congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Just a couple other housekeeping things to talk about. Sports Expo 2, which is at sportscardexpo.com, is going to be the November 21st and 22nd. I recommend you go check that out. It's a nice online virtual event. I know Bobby Hull and Andre Dawson are going to be guests there. I think you'll be able to have a one-on-one chat with either of those Hall of Famers, and there's a lot of things going on for Sports Card Expo. So go to sportscardexpo.com. Pre-register for the show. It is November 21st and 22nd. I went out to flea market yesterday in Leominster, Mass. It's the Tilton Marketplace Flea Market, new flea market that I hadn't been to. It's an indoor flea market, and I love going to flea market. Had a bunch of finds at this flea market, which was really good. I picked up a bunch of rack packs from Tops and Flair in the 87, 88, and 89, and I think with this one 90 in there. All sorts of cool guys on showing, including Roger Clemens and Don Mattingly, and lots of Red Sox guys showing, and there's a Bo Jackson rookie card showing, so in a Billy Ripken with the error blacked out, but still kind of cool to see that. So I got those rack packs for a good price for $10. I think I had 16 rack packs. I picked up a few 1974 Kellogg Street E cards, Johnny Bench, Willie Stargell, Jim Palmer, to name a few. And I got all those for like $5. And then I picked up a couple other things. I picked up this cool baseball card vending machine. So you put the quarter in the machine and it spits out baseball cards. So very cool. It is filled with baseball cards, basketball cards, football cards, and hockey cards, all Boston related cards in there that were in the machine. Plus there were some coins in there, and I got the whole vending machine for $45, which is like unbelievable. So I'm very happy to add that to my man cave. Very neat machine, and once I get it all set up with new signage that I'm going to make, I will post that on Instagram and on Facebook. It's really cool. And lastly, I picked up a 1971 goalie win leader card that was actually autographed by Tony Esposito, Eddie Johnston, and Jerry Cheevers, and I got that for a really good price. So I'm really happy to get that. The Ed Jockman is actually on the card as well, and I'm going to send that out to get signed. So that'll be a really cool card to complete. In addition, I've been buying some stuff on eBay. We can't go to card shows, so no card shows, and I've been just really going to doing eBay a lot lately, and I picked up for really good numbers in my mind, and great condition cards. I picked up a 1972 Steve Garvey and 1972 Rod Carew, both high numbers, both really close to mint condition as you can be, and actually sent out the Garvey yesterday to get signed. I had posted the Garvey find on Instagram, and Steve Garvey actually responded to it and said he loved the card. It was one of his favorite cards. I actually interviewed Steve Garvey at the beginning of the year for the podcast, so it was nice. He must have followed me, and it was nice to hear from Mr. Garvey. So I saw that, and I said, "Oh, I think I should send that out." So I took a chance. I sent out my 1972 Steve Garvey to Garvey to get signed, and hopefully that will be back in a couple weeks. Other than that, I actually picked up a, what are these things? Sorry, I got them right in front of me. It is a Craig Kimbrell Museum Collection, Topson Museum Collection. It's actually signed by him, and it's got three uniform pieces, and it's numbered 175 out of, 115 out of 149. So it's number 115 out of 149. Really cool card. And I picked that up for, I think, less than $5. It was just a great deal on eBay. So guys, go check out eBay. There's a lot of cool vintage stuff out there. If you're collecting vintage stuff, I know everyone knows about eBay, but there seems to be a lot of good buys out there for vintage stuff as opposed to some of this the newer stuff that seems to be really priced out of whack. And that wraps up Baker's Dozen for the week. And now on to our Vern Rap Minute. Our Vern Rap Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rap. As you know, I had sent out a TTM request to Mr. Vern Rap prior to his passing. So I want to just let people know, people in the world of sports and entertainment who you might be sending out TTM requests to that are no longer with us. So we've lost a couple people in the world of entertainment. The big one everyone I'm sure knows, but we lost Sean Connery, famous actor from James Bond fame and all sorts of other movies, including Raiders of the Lost Ark, and he's been just in a lot of stuff. He was 91 years old. We lost Mr. Connery. We lost Linda Cornette, who was a former Miss America. She was 49 years old. She passed this week as well. In the world of football, we lost a few people this week. Jimmy Orr, who was a wide receiver, a flanker for the Baltimore Colts and started his career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He played from 1958 to 1970. He was 85 years old. Herb Adderley, who was played defensive back for the Green Bay Packers primarily most of his career and finished his career with the Dallas Cowboys. He played from 1961 to 1972 when he was a great TTM signer. He was 81. In addition, we lost Chuck Crist, who played safety for the New York Giants, the Saints, 49ers. From 1972 to 1978, Mr. Crist was 69 years old. And finally, we lost Bob Whitlow, who was a center for numerous teams in the 60s from Washington, Detroit, Atlanta, and Cleveland. From 1960 to 1968, Bob Whitlow was 84 years old. So we're sorry for everyone's loss. Sorry for your loss. And that kind of wraps up the Fern Wrap Minute.
This week's TTM returns are brought to you by Sports Card Forum. Find players' addresses, see who's signing, and more, all for free. SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
And now it's time for returns of the week. Just two returns this week. As I said, I've been kind of slacking. But I have I sent out 31 requests on Saturday. So hopefully we'll get some returns will start flowing in. But I did get two returns this past week. I got Cookie Rojas on a 1973 Topps card in blue Sharpie. Really cool to add this to my collection. I'm a big fan of Cookie Rojas. And his real name is Octavio Rojas or Rivas. So I didn't know that, but Cookie played for the Phillies and actually 1 year with the Cardinals in 1970 and the Kansas City Royals for the end of his career. So we got Cookie Rojas on a 1973 Topps card. I was always a big fan of him growing up. And I got Jose Cruz from the Toronto Cruz Jr. from the Toronto Blue Jays on a 2002 Topps card. He played for the Mariners and Blue Jays, and I sent that to him, and he works for the Players Association, and so I sent that to his the Players Association office in New York City. And that one took a while. That was probably, I don't know, 6 months maybe. Cookie Rojas took probably 2 months, and Jose Cruz took a while. When I got it back, I honestly didn't even remember sending it. So it was a kind of a nice surprise. I always love getting returns, some old returns that I forget to send out, because sometimes I send out a few, and then I forget about them. So I do keep track of them. But so it was nice to get a couple of older returns. As I said, I sent out another 21. This Saturday, so hopefully the next week or two, some of those returns will start rolling in, because it's been kind of slow lately in terms of returns, and mostly my fault because of haven't been sending a lot out. So that wraps up returns for the week. And now on to our interview segment. It's always my favorite segment of the show. I love talking to fellow collectors and people that are passionate about the hobby. And this gentleman is not necessarily a TTMer, but he is a huge collector. He collects everything Red Sox, and he has every Red Sox base card from 1952 moving forward. He has all sorts of cool regional stuff. He always posts on Twitter. If you have a Twitter account and you want to follow somebody who's posting cool stuff all the time, his name is Mark Hoyle. He is from Massachusetts, and his Twitter account is MarkHoyle4. He's at MarkHoyle4 on Twitter, and he was somebody that I follow on Twitter, and I've always wanted to talk to, because he's very passionate about what he does, and this guy can pull out the most obscure collectibles from any Red Sox ever, and he's a huge 1967 Impossible Dream guy, and that's one of his teams. So hopefully you enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by the Trove Sports Den. Come and hang out and chat with baseball pros from past and present online. Visit thetrovesportsden.com and join in the fun today.
Joining us on the TTM Cast hotline from his home in Massachusetts is super collector, and I'm using that with utter respect, Mr. Mark Hoyle, who is a super collector of Boston and primarily Red Sox and 1967 Impossible Dreams. So welcome to the program, Mark.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. Thanks for inviting me on. It's my pleasure. And be glad to talk about collecting for a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, Mark, I follow you on Instagram and on Twitter, and you're always posting on Twitter. And one of the things that really always amazes me is someone will post some out of the normal item, and you'll be like, "Oh yeah, I've got three of those." And your collection must be unbelievably deep.
It is very deep. I think it's a lot easier to go that deep when you're only collecting basically one team, the Red Sox. I do set collect, and I have a few completed ones back into the 70s. But when you're doing just Red Sox, I think it's a lot easier to get really deep. And believe it or not, I have very few lists to go by. So a lot of it's just in my head or nothing online. I just have a little notebook with some notes in it, and I just go for it.
No, yeah, you've been a Red Sox fan all your life, I'm assuming, because you're a Boston guy. What was your first team? First Red Sox?
The first games I went to were in 71.
Okay.
Born in 63, so I was 8. I went to 3 games that year, which I still have the programs for. So, and 2 of the guys who pitched, Sonny Siebert and Gary Peters, are guys that I collect because of that today. It doesn't matter what team they're on. I just collect them just for that simple fact. So I grew up, Fisk was a rookie in 72. So they had some good teams then, but they just quite couldn't get over the hump. Remember 75 real well, heartbroken as a 13-year-old kid. But yeah, early 70s was the my hot spot for first following the Sox.
Yeah, you're 2 years older than me, so obviously 75 was my big team, but I remember going to the games in 72, 73, right around there. And, you know, obviously Carlton Fisk was one of my guys, and Fred Lynn is,
yep.
Fred Lynn can do no wrong.
Same here. I had some oddball guys that I really loved back in the day just because Joe LaHood, you know, he was going to be the new Yaz, never quite made it, but he had one game back in 70 or 71 where he hit 3 homers and every kid in the neighborhood was Joe LaHood for a week. So a few different guys like that, Doug Griffin, Joe LaHood, of course, everybody loved Teon, Bill Lee, you know, the usual suspects, Rice, Lynn, Yaz, Evans. But yeah, I was like the bench guys, the unsung hero type guys. So I still collect them.
Doug Griffin lived literally, 5 blocks from me.
Wow.
The TBD Mass, so growing up, and my brother went to first grade with his daughter. I mean, he was only around for a couple of years before he moved. But he had him and Rico Petroselli actually owned a gas station or managed a gas station up here in Peabody. And I must have been, 6 or 7 years old. And my dad took me up there. They had, they were signing autographs, Rico and Doug Griffin were. And I was the second.
I have one of those right in my hometown. Rico owned it with Ken Harrelson and Mike Andrews. They called it Sports Gas Station.
Yep.
And it had a big, Rico Petroselli's name was on it until about 10 years ago, even though he had nothing to do with it for the last 30 years. I ran into Rico at a card show at the Shriners last fall, and I asked him about it, and he remembered the gas station, where it was, and I met him that night. My father took me up to get his autograph. I don't think I have that still, but might be the only thing I've let go of.
When did you start collecting cards, and when did you turn from just a collector to a passionate collector that you are today?
The first cards I remember opening from PAX was 1970. I must have opened them in 69, too, because I have a bunch in my collection that I've had since I can't remember when, and I never got those in a trade, so I must have opened packs. But the first time I remember is 1970. And it's a funny thing. Right now, I'm going back to complete that set. I have 9 cards to go, so I'm pretty close on that.
Who do you need?
Well, I need Ryan. I need Ryan and Bench. They're the two big names. And I did have a bunch of these cards at one time, and I was starting to trade off some of my 1970 set because I didn't think I was ever going to do it. But I took some of the Hall of Famers and put them aside, and now I can't find them. So I'm going to probably rebuy all these, and then I'm going to find a little box I put them in. So then it's going to happen. But other than that, I collected pretty heavily all through the 70s. I have complete sets. Up into 95, and I have the 67 set. The way it worked, my mother worked at the only store in the little town I live in that sold baseball cards. So I actually became friendly with the guy who was the guy who sold them to her. So at least once a year for each sport, he would give me a vendor box to open. He would just give it to me. So I always had a head start opening cards. Even when I got older, high school and college, he still was the same salesman, and he would start giving my mother complete sets. So all through the 80s and up to the mid-90s, I still had complete sets of Tops as a gift from the salesman. Never completely 100% got out of the hobby. I had a couple boys. I would bring them to shows. I would pick up some cards here and there, throw them in a box. They outgrew it. They left both their collections here. So I have all stuff from the 90s here that's in huge tubs in the basement that were theirs. And then I finally, about 8 years ago, on a Saturday, a rainy day like today, I hopped on my iPad and was reading blogs about baseball cards. And I got completely hooked again. So I went and found that box that I had stuff in for the last 25 years. And I had never thrown anything out previously. I either had it in my attic here or still at my mother's house. And I went and got it all, kind of figured out what I had. And I realized that you can't collect everything anymore. So I noticed a lot of guys are picking a team or a guy. So I just said, I'm just going to finish all my Red Sox sets. And a couple years into it, I decided to super collect the 67 team, which is slightly ahead of my time, but it was a team that my dad, my uncles, my grandfather talked about. It was a team that pretty much turned the fortunes around for the Red Sox. And since then, I've just gone for it, moved backwards, collected all the vintage sets I could find, and I still do the modern stuff. I don't rip any packs, but I just buy the team sets from secondary market. I have a couple guys I deal with, and it's worked out well. And that's where I'm at today.
Have you had a chance to meet many of the guys from the 67 team?
I have. I've met Rico. I've met Jose Santiago. I've met Gary Wasluski, Dalton Jones, Darryl Brandon, a couple of the minor league guys that were in the system then, Joe LaHood, Jerry Moses. Met Yaz. Trying to think. Dave Moorhead. I actually was on a Zoom call one night. They had I met Jim Lonborg. I actually met him in an elevator in Boston at the Wang Theater. I knew who he was. My wife was saying, "Why are you staring at that guy?" besides the fact he's like 6'7", and he looks exactly like he did 40 years ago. I was on a Zoom call one night when they had they had about 30 of the guys on, and they were interviewing them all at once. And at the end, some of the fans could ask questions and whatnot. But so I probably met, 12 or 14 of them over the years.
Are you an autograph collector as well as card collector?
I'm very select on what I get for autographs. I do have at least one autograph for every guy on the 67 team. Most of them I bought, but some of them I get in person. Occasionally when I'm at a show and I see a guy that I might want, I'll grab an autograph. I have a huge Red Sox postcard collection that I bought off a guy who was one of the biggest autograph dealers years ago in card collecting, which I bought just about all the Red Sox ones he have. So I have quite a few postcards, probably 800 to 1,000 of them, of guys going all the way back into the 20s, played for the Sox that are signed.
Do you have a favorite piece from 67 or just a...
Favorite piece I have from 67 is not even a car. I mean, not even a card. It's actually a car. Chrysler sponsored the 67 World Series. And what they did was they gave out these model cars to the Chrysler dealers in the St. Louis area and the Boston area. Probably about 15 of them in each city. And I have one of them, so that's probably my coolest favorite piece I have right now.
Did you pick that up on eBay, or did you pick that up at a show, or how'd you get that?
I picked it up at a show. I picked it up from a guy that I bought a ton of my 67 Sox stuff from. He actually bought it at a show the night before, knew I was coming the next day. This was at the Shriners. He didn't even put it out because he knew as soon as I saw it, I was going to want it. So he basically sold it to me for what he paid for it. I have a lot of guys like that. They know what I want. They'll take it in at a show, and then I'll get a phone call or an email. And it never, you know, nobody else gets a chance to buy it. They just send it right to my way. So works out good.
Do you have a favorite Yaz piece?
I have a couple cool different kind of Yaz things. I don't know if you remember the 67 season. Billy Roar was pitching a no-hitter, and Yaz made the diving catch over his shoulder. I have a ball signed by Yaz, Billy Roar, and Tommy Tresh, the guy who hit the ball. It's, you know, I think it's a pretty unique, cool piece. So that's probably my favorite Yaz one.
Did you meet Billy Roar at the Shriners? I think it was last year he was there, right? Or 2 years ago?
I didn't meet him that time. No, I didn't. He was there a day that I wasn't there.
Yeah, he was a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Very personable.
He was on the Zoom call. He seemed like he was a really good guy, very humble. He seemed like a really good guy.
You know what's funny is that guys like Billy Roar, you know, were only around for a flash in the pan, so you only remember them when as young men. And then you
right.
see today, it's like, wait a minute, that's not Billy Roar. That's an older gentleman. But you forget that these guys.
Yeah, I mean, if he was 22 and 67, he's in his 70s now. Yeah, it is kind of funny when you look at the guys saying, I just watched the replay of that game, not even thinking it was 50 years ago. You know, this guy can't look like that.
But, no, I know. And especially with the guy, because he has, you know, Billy, you think it's just like, you know, he's always that young guy in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like you, I, you know, when it's on, I watch the replays of these games. So you, that's the image that's burned into your mind.
Right.
How about do you have all the base tops cards for all the Red Sox? Have you completed that collection?
I have all the base back to 52. I have the 51s, the red backs, and the blue backs. I also have a lot of the insert stuff, the test issues that they put out throughout the years, which mm-hmm. that stuff is hard to find. And that's what's the most fun stuff to try to dig up. I'm missing a few still, but the list is pretty small.
Do you have all the 67, were they stickers, the test stickers?
Yes, I actually have three complete sets of the stickers.
Oh, wow.
I have three complete sets. I'm close on the third. I'm going for a graded set. I have two sets that are raw. One of them is in really rough shape. It was the first one I put together.
Yep.
Some of the tape on the back is off of them, and they're stuck on a piece of cardboard. I did buy a set complete from a dealer that advertised it on a Saturday morning, and I saw it 10 minutes later, and I immediately made the phone call. That's a pretty cool set in itself.
Yeah, I love it.
They just did the Sox and the Pirates that year. So
you have all the Pirates as well?
No, I only have Pesky because he was on a sticker for the Tigers that year. So I collect Pesky. So I grabbed that one. But I have a lot of the other, you know, there's some punch outs that came out in 68. I think Heritage just did some a couple years ago. I think I have an Ortiz one. They redid it. But they did these punch outs in 67. They're probably 2.5 by 5 inches long. Pretty tough to find. I'm still missing the Yaz, which I've never even seen one. I have a couple of the 68 plaques, which I don't know if you're familiar with those.
Yeah, I've seen those, yeah.
I have the Yaz and the Lawnborg, which are super tough to find.
Do you have the 68 3D cards? Lawnborg?
I do have the 68 Lawnborg, yes. I have a graded one. That is the single most expensive single card purchase I've ever made.
And how did that feel for you?
One had come up a couple of years ago, and I'm friends with Shane Katz, and I think we made a deal. If one comes up, you'll have first shot at it. So I actually got the message on my phone, and I emailed him. I said, Shane, it's live. He bought it right away. A couple of years after the fact, I was driving home one day. It was on 95. I had a message. It was in traffic. I got a message. The Lawnborg came up. Decent price. I pulled off at the next exit to buy it, and it was already gone.
Yeah.
So the REA auction about 2 years ago, it came up, and I was not going to lose it. And I got it. So it was the most expensive, but it was also pretty fulfilling. That was a big hole, and it's one of the better cards I have.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, I posted on Twitter the other day. I've always wanted the 72 Garvey. That was kind of the holy grail for me. I was a huge Dodger fan in my day. And for some reason, I just never went and got it. And I saw it on eBay last week or something, and I'm like, I'm buying it. And I bought it and I posted it. I think I posted it on Instagram, and Garvey actually posted, responded to it. He said, oh, I love that card. That's one of my favorite cards.
Yeah, I remember when I did the 72 set, that was one of the last cards I needed.
Yeah.
Of course, he was in the high series, and those never made it to my area when I was a kid. So
I remember there was one kid in my neighborhood that was probably your age, and he had one, and he used to just tease the living hell out of us. Like, Garvey. And if you remember back in the 70s, that was like the Horace Wagner. You know what I mean? It was that was like one of the top 10
very high
cards of all time.
Yeah, 7th series, really tough hard card to track down.
Yeah,
like I said, there was only one store in my town that sold cards, and my mother never got the 7th series. There was a couple kids who lived on the other side of town who could go to the next town over, and they did buy a few packs of them, and they tormented us with, because the cards just looked different too. The photography looked so much sharper. And it's like, where did these cards come from? You know, are these fake? Are these real? I've never seen anything like this. But, you know, 2 years later, we didn't have to worry about it because they didn't put cards out in the series anymore.
No, I know. Growing up, my dad owned a drugstore. He's a pharmacist. So he would always bring home a box of the first series from my brother and me.
Right.
And but we never, like, any of the later, because we were little kids at this point. We didn't even know series, you know what I mean? We just wanted cards.
I had no idea that's how they were put out.
Yeah.
Years
later.
I
didn't either. So what do you think is, do you like the new cards? Do you go after, the high-end stuff, you know, the Topps Museum and the Topps Reds and that kind of stuff?
Just the basic. I do have the triple creds, Red Sox. I don't have any relics or autos or anything. I just have, I don't know what was in it, 4 or 5 base cards, maybe 6 this year. Museum collection. You know, I'll just get the base cards. And for some of the other stuff like Flagship, Heritage, Archives, I will grab the inserts. But I've taken relics and autographs in trade, but I have never actually bought one on a new card. So I might be one of the only. Yeah, I know some people love them, but yeah.
I like the Heritage cards, but the other stuff, I don't know. There's just too much stuff, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, there's a new release every day. I like the Heritage, I like the Archives. good flagship Panini stuff. I'll just buy a couple cards. I don't need the whole team set. I'll just get a couple of them just to have some from that set. I like the Tops Now stuff for the Red Sox. I think I bought every Red Sox card that's been on Tops Now.
Okay.
And it was in the 2018 season. It was pretty cool, actually, because during the whole playoff run, about 60 cards came out, and it basically documented the whole playoffs. Sometimes they had 8 or 9 cards per game. But when you put them all together and you go back and look at them, it pretty much documents the whole playoff from point A to B and winning the series. So it's pretty nice little set when you have it all done. And I didn't buy them from Topps. I bought them online from secondary market, so I didn't pay the $10 a card or whatever it is. So not quite as painful.
Did you get to go to any of the World Series games or any of the playoff games?
I didn't. I can barely stay up and watch them.
You and me both.
Like you, I guess we both get up.
Early.
And it's tough even just to make it to a game, you know, the playoffs and World Series especially. But, yeah, have you bought any of the Tops Now, the 2020?
I haven't. I'm a little, you know what, I'd rather spend the money on the vintage stuff as opposed to all this new stuff. It's, I don't know, it doesn't do a lot for me, honestly.
No, I bought a handful of them. Like, even today, I just had a mail day today. I got in 3 1959 Venezuelan Red Sox cards. So
yeah.
I completed the Topps run. I completed the Opeachy run, and now I'm working on the Venezuelan run. I'm probably 85% done.
You are a completist, my friend.
I try to be.
Now, how do you display your stuff? Do you have a man cave with stuff framed?
Right now, other collectors would probably be appalled if they saw how I have it all stored and stacked and whatnot. I also collect music, and I have between CDs, cassettes, 8-tracks, albums, probably 15,000 different pieces of music.
Wow.
And as a contractor, I'm a cabinet builder too. I outfitted my whole room to store my music and display that. That's going to go into storage now, and the Red Sox baseball stuff's going to come out. So once that's out and done, then I'll start posting some pictures of that. But as of right now, it's just a complete mess.
One of my favorite things is the 1969 Topps posters. I love that. The Red Sox.
Which one? The 69s?
The 69s, yeah.
Yeah. I have the Red Sox one framed. But I also bought, I had to get the Pilots one because Gary Bell was on that, Impossible Dreamer.
Yep.
I think there's one for the Braves. Bob Tillman's on it, Impossible Dreamer. I got the Indians one because Tony Horton's on it, Impossible
Dreamer. And Harrelson, I think, is on it too, right?
Harrelson, yeah, he might be on that one, yeah. I have the Royals one has, I believe, Moorhead and Foy, I think. So I've got a couple of them. Most of them, besides the Red Sox, the other ones are folded up. But I actually have the, I don't know if you're familiar with the Sports Illustrated ones, posters from 68 through 70.
Yep.
I have, those are 2 foot by 3 foot. I have them framed, and they're not even hanging. They're leaning against the wall. So that's one of my things. My wife was on me today. I had to move them out of the way just to get the closet. But
yeah, I have Yaz up my wall.
That's a nice poster.
I agree. And I like the Tony C one, too. It looks a little like the Yaz. But
The tough one is Tony C, Yaz, Reggie Smith, Rico, Lonborg, and is it Scott? There's another one that's really tough to find that most people don't know about. Mike Andrews has one that came out in 1970. So that's like a short printed one that I don't even think there's a checklist for these. And I've only seen one of them.
And you didn't buy it?
No, I do. I have it.
Oh, you have it. Okay.
I have it, yeah. But I haven't seen it. I've seen the other ones other places, but and actually, I didn't even know about it. There's a guy at Buy Posters off that he specializes in the SI ones, and he asked me if I had it. And I said, I didn't even know there was such a thing. And he goes, there is. And it cost me twice as much as the Aslan for Mike Andrews.
Yeah, because they probably made 1,000 of them.
Right, they made a lot less of them, I guess. Because I guess that style went from 68 to 70. So
yeah,
I have one of the advertising pieces for it too. Do you have one of those?
I don't. I just have the. I got the Yaz a long time ago, and
yeah.
I've had it rolled up forever. And then, a couple weeks ago, I was like, I gotta put this in a frame. So my wife and I went out and got a frame for it.
Well, that's one reason. Even if I didn't hang them, I was talking to the guy who specializes in the poster, and he told me don't leave them rolled up.
Yeah.
I mean, as you know, if you rolled it out, it's pretty brittle.
Right.
So he said they store better if they're in a frame or some kind of way put them flat. So that's what
right,
I did.
Right, they didn't laminate them. It was just that paper.
Yeah, and it's really not that thick of a piece of paper, so they're pretty brittle over time. So I have an extra one of the advertising things. I'll send it your way.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Those are smaller. Those are about 15 by 21, possibly. NL's on one side, AL's on the other side. It's pretty cool.
I think I've seen them, but I don't own one.
Sometimes if you bought a poster, you'd find one rolled up inside it. That's how I got mine.
Okay.
So
yeah, no, as I said, I bought mine, it must have been 20 or 25 years ago, and I've just carried it around wherever I went, and I probably have 20 posters that I just never rolled up, and I saw that, and I was like, shit, I should put, excuse my language, I should put that in a frame, because I always like that.
Right, I know a few other guys have those in frames, too, other Red Sox guys I talked to online, on Twitter, they have it all framed up. You know Mark Armour?
I do not.
He's on Twitter quite a bit. He is. He's the president of Sabre.
Okay, sure.
And he's a Red Sox guy. He lives out on the West Coast now. He used to be in East Coast. He's a Red Sox fan, so we talk quite a bit. So he has it framed up on his wall. I know that. I've seen that one. I know a couple other guys, too.
Do you have any jerseys, any authentic jerseys?
I don't have jerseys, nope. I don't have jerseys. When I got back into the whole collecting thing, I told myself I'm not gonna do jerseys. I just don't have space for it. I don't do bobbleheads. I have two, which were gifts, so I kept them. Full-size pennants. I probably have six of them, maybe. I have maybe a couple more I have my eye on. And I'd say I'm not going to collect them because it's a space thing. Yet I bought a whole set of dishes and glasses that were from Bobby Doerr's estate. So it's like, I don't know how I justified that. They can fit on the shelf, maybe. So
that's funny. Do you have a want list of stuff that you want to add to your collection, or
I have there's a couple Ted Williams things I'm looking for. One of them's his, not necessarily his rookie card, a lot of people consider it his rookie card, but it's the 39 Goody Premium. There's actually two that year. One was a worldwide gum issue, which was from Canada, and the other one was a Goody issue from the U.S. That's a tough one to find. And my other three or four Red Sox buddies who collect Ted Williams, every time one comes up online, we all text each other. And these things go for like $6,000 if they're crumpled up.
Wow.
So it's a really tough one to find. I still need a Yaz Venezuelan rookie, which I may or may not ever own. Again, those are in rough shape, and they want four figures for them. There's a few other ones that they're gettable from the 60s. 67 Ted Williams Venezuelan. There's like a retired type series that they stuck in that one.
Okay.
That's gettable. They pop up occasionally on eBay. There's the 68 Yaz Poncho, which is pretty tough. 73 Yaz Comic, which is pretty tough. I've seen two of them, both at the Shriners. One of them was $4,000, one was $6,000. I walked away
from those. There's that one guy at the Shriners that when you walk in, if you take a right.
Right to the right. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
707, Levi Bleem. I dealt with him. He's 707 sports cards. He's on eBay, and he's at the Shriners. He has, 10 tables maybe?
He had a whole
pile of those comics. There's also another guy who always sets up there. He's out of Pennsylvania, and he always has the oddball Topps test issues, which I bought quite a few from him. Stuff like the 69 Supers, which they're not like the 670 and 71s. They're smaller than the regular size. They're just really glossy.
I don't think I've seen.
Yeah, there's the Red Sox, and you have this Ray Culp, Ken Harrelson, and Yaz. I just bought you might be familiar with the Arco or the Atlantic Richfield Red Sox prints that came out in 69-71.
Yeah, I do. I know those.
Which they have a brochure that's tough to find that advertises the cups inside of it. There was a set of four cups, four different colors that have all 10 of the caricatures on them. I just picked that up last week. That has been on my want list for years. I just grabbed those.
I mean, you built up a huge network. Do you think there are a lot of guys out there like you that are real passionate Red Sox collectors? I know Shane does.
Shane does. We've actually done shows together. The last Shriners show, which was in November before the COVID hit us, we had about five guys that we've all met on Twitter. A couple guys from Maine, they came down. One's a big Piant guy and a Rice guy, another Rice collector. Another kid came up from Delaware. And then there's another Shane Samuelson. He's from the Boston area too, New England. Five of us, all Red Sox guys. We all collect a little bit differently, but a lot of stuff is pretty similar. And it's kind of fun to do a show with other guys that know what you're looking for too.
Yeah.
So if somebody's digging through a box, they'll say, "Hey, come over here. I found something you might like." We spent the whole day together. And at the end of the day, we all said, this is probably the most fun we've had at a card show in a long time. Just doing it all together.
Have you been to the National?
I haven't. I was going to go this year. And
you
it got canceled. I was going to drive down. I had a couple baseball things canceled this year. We had the big Sabre convention was going to be in Baltimore the month before the National. I was all booked for that. That canceled. I had a trip into Cooperstown that I canceled. I had been the year before, and a bunch of us met there in Cooperstown. And we did we called it the baseball card store crawl. We started at one end of Main Street and hit every card store all the way down.
I got a bunch of stuff at Yastrzemski's.
He's a big dude. Yeah. I bought a Joe Wood card in there when I was there last year ago, May. But did you go into baseball nostalgia?
I did. I was there with my family who are really not collectors and not baseball fans. They took me because I hadn't been in forever, and I wanted to
right.
The cardboard, the cardboard collection.
Well, that's the main reason I had went there, because two of my friends were involved with that. So I went to the opening day of Baseball Treasures with about five or six other guys, and the whole town of Cooperstown was crawling with not only baseball fans, but they were baseball card guys. And like I said, we ended up in baseball nostalgia, which is, I don't know, you remember the TCMA cards?
Yes.
That's the store that Mike Aronstein originally opened, is Baseball Nostalgia. And he's still a part owner, I believe. And I met his son Andrew there in Cooperstown, and we've become great baseball trading buddies. So I have a huge collection of TCMA stuff too, besides Red Sox. I think there's a never-ending search for that kind of stuff too. So.
Well, we're speaking with Mark Hoyle. Mark is on Twitter at Mark Hoyle 4. Guys, follow Mark. He's not just Red Sox. He does, you know, he does primarily Red Sox, but he's always posting cool stuff, and he's always retweeting cool stuff. So I recommend you follow Mark on Twitter. Mark, I know you do a lot. You do a lot of trading as well.
Yeah. Those are the guys. Like I said, when I got back into it, I read a couple blogs. One of them was Night Owl. Greg Gay writes the Night Owl blog. And then I hooked up with a bunch of other guys through that and through the blogs. I never wrote a blog, but I literally had a collector of every other team that I could trade with. Some of them multiples. So I picked up, that's how I caught up with all my modern cards of Red Sox. I traded a lot of my vintage doubles to these guys, and they had a bunch of extra 90s and 2000 cards that I could catch up with my team set. So that's how I did that. And probably about 5 years into that, one of the guys said, okay, enough's enough. You're either going to start to write a blog, or you got to get on Twitter, because we get to see the stuff that you have. So Tony Lehman is the one who talked me into it. He's on Twitter. And I said, okay, I'll do it. So I started posting a few things. I didn't say anything to anybody except for Tony and maybe one other guy. I said, I just let it grow organically and see where it goes. And it's probably been one of the best things I've ever done in collecting. I've met so many good guys. The community is unbelievable. Made a ton of trades. Random acts of kindness. Guys send me stuff. Just out of the blue.
Yeah, I saw you got 4 autograph cards today, huh?
Yeah, those actually came from my old college roommate. His father was a big collector. He's from down in Connecticut, so he's right in the middle. He was a Mets fan. But his father collected all kinds of baseball stuff, and his dad passed away, so he sent me those 4 cards, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I've had other guys hit me up and say, do you want this? I'd love to have something that was mine in your collection, and I'll take it. And, you know, what do you want back? Oh, nothing. Just send, you know, just pay it forward. So I have a list of guys, and if I come up with some extra stuff, it's out the door, and I mail it off to them.
Do you do programs and yearbooks as well?
Yes. I have some programs. I don't go crazy. I don't need one from every year. I probably have 30 different yearbooks. I don't have the complete run back into the 50s. Shane does have that.
Yeah,
I've helped him look for a couple of them. I have press guides. I do pocket schedules. I probably have 1,000 different ones back into the 20s. I don't do full-size pennants, but I have a whole binder full of mini pennants that go back into the 20s. Patches, decals, stuff like that. I try not to do too much of the souvenir-type trinkety stuff.
Okay.
But some of the collectible stuff, decals, old stickers, patches, stuff like that, I have a whole binder full of them.
How far back does your collectibles go? Do you go back into the teens when, you know, Babe Ruth and...
I have a postcard that supposedly Babe Ruth is in it. It's one you see. It's a pretty common one. It's a batting practice picture. Babe is in it, a little tiny thing about a quarter of an inch tall, but it looks like him. Probably my earliest Red Sox card is from the 06 Fan Craze set, basically a card game. I think there were 7 or 8 Red Sox in it. Pretty tough set to get. The Red Sox only been around since early 1900s, so I don't have anything from the 1800s for them. I do have a few Braves things, old Braves stuff, too. A little before my time, they moved 53, yeah, they split that bet. I just picked up a couple of Bowman Braves cards today because they were cheap. Another team that I never saw, but my dad and grandfather, uncles, they all got to see it. Most of my stuff, as far as vintage, it goes 20s, 30s, 40s. Try to pick apart on all those sets, which I have a lot of them. And some beautiful cards back then. Crackerjack cards from 14 and 15. Some of the sets from the 30s, really beautiful stuff. So
do you, when you're done collecting, do you think you're going to donate your collection to the Hall of Fame or donate?
Well, I actually know the guy who's the curator, because I met him when I was out in Cooperstown, and I've hung out with him a couple nights out there. I don't know if they'll take something like that. They might want to pick and choose, which I'd gladly donate it to them. I would gladly do that. Or some kind of museum in the Boston area that specialized in Red Sox or Boston sports. My boys aren't into it anymore. I have one grandson. I bought him cards when he was little and had no interest going forward, so I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
I'm kind of the same boat.
It's a good question. It's a good question. I would definitely, I brought it up to Tom, the curator at the hall. I brought it up to him. I never heard back. They do have cards, besides, you know, the shoebox treasure display, they do have cards interspersed among their other displays, so
yeah,
they might use it. I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff, though. A lot of stuff.
I know. I'd love to get a tour one day of all your stuff.
Well, I got to get it. Once I get it all set up, I'll invite you down to the Mansfield show. We'll come take a look at it, and we'll go get some lunch. How's that?
Sounds like a plan, because I think I would be there for like 10 hours, honestly. You wouldn't be able to get rid of me, Mark.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. Nobody gets to see it. I show it on Twitter, which I love to do because that's the only people that get to see it. My wife looks at it like, why do you have more envelopes coming today? Don't you have it all already? And then I'll show this couple of the other guys I collect with on Twitter. I'll show them, this is his room. It's not even half of what I have. Look at this. And it's just, you know, shrug her shoulders. I got to get it all set up, so then I'll have some people in and take a look.
Have you seen, like, the Wade Boggs guy, and I forget what his name is, but he's...
Oh, yeah, Richard. Yep.
And it's like, I'm jealous of that.
Oh, I know. I've actually sent him a couple things. Anytime I see a Boggs thing at a show, I'll send him a message. Nope, I got that.
No, yeah, there's nothing.
I did find one thing one time he didn't have, and I sent it to him. And I know I have another card that he doesn't have, and I'm hoping to hook up with him at the National next year in Chicago. So he gave me an invite over to the Boggs Tavern, and I'll give him a card to put in it. So
that's really neat. I mean, you really enjoy the regional stuff, I'm sure, because that's the stuff that's kind of different that people don't have. I kind of like that kind of stuff myself.
Yeah. There's a couple regional things I don't have. I'm still looking for. They're really tough. Some really tough issues that you see them occasionally out there on eBay or a show, but you know, you get to pick and choose. You can't buy it all.
I know. Are you? I just want a question, and I'll let you go because we've been going for about 45 minutes now, and I really appreciate.
Wow, time flies.
Yeah, it's great to talk to a fellow Red Sox nut, and I use that term lovingly because that's what we are. But are you kind of surprised at the turn the hobby has taken in terms of popularity and growth in the last, you know, year, to 9 months to a year?
I don't deal as much with the new stuff. I just kind of look at it from a distance, but I'm completely blown away with what people pay for these cards or what they sell them for. Even the vintage stuff, I've noticed that is, the prices have risen a little bit. Some of the higher end rookie type guys, Aaron, Clemente, you know, if those cards are graded, I've seen those go for astronomical prices. But I am super surprised, especially with what's going on in the world today. I thought for sure prices would drop, and they've risen. It blows my mind.
My wife, you know, 2 years ago was like, what are you doing? You're the only people collecting this stuff. None of these, you know, the kids don't like it. This is a dying hobby. And I'm like, I love it.
You see kids at the shows. They're not quite, but do you see them there?
But not like when we were, not like back in the, you know, 70s into the 80s, that was, I think
definitely
there, were, kids.
No, definitely not. Yeah. No.
I don't know. Like, my son's 25, and he has no interest in sports cards at all. So.
Yeah, like, mine's a little older than that, but like I said, when he moved out, he left the tubs of cards in the basement. So, what's that tell you?
I know. We don't know. But
yeah.
I guess we do it because we love it and it's fun. So
yeah, it is. It's, you know, just the search is fun, trying to find that one card that you'd look for 10 years. Getting the thing all organized and looking for the next thing. That's what you do. And
yep.
Showing it off to all the guys on Twitter and guys and girls on Twitter.
Right, the people that appreciate it.
And it's a great community of people, I think, on Twitter. And I'm not on the other forums, but I'm sure it's like that elsewhere too. It blows my mind sometimes what people give to each other without even wanting a card back.
Yeah, so. I do it all the time. If I have an extra card, somebody's looking for it. It's like you can have it, enjoy it.
Definitely. Like somebody posts that they're almost done with a set, and what do you need? What do you need? And before you know it, the night's over, and he has the set done. And
yeah.
I think that's kind of cool.
I agree. Well, we're speaking with Mark Hoyle. Mark is on Twitter at MarkHoyle4. Please, if you have any Red Sox stuff, especially 1967, also Dream stuff, and he can, if you want to talk trade, Mark is always working on the 1970 top set. He needs about 8 or 9 cards for that. He's always looking to trade stuff. So, guys, go on Twitter, follow Mark. It's MarkHoyle4, ultra Red Sox collector. And, it was a pleasure meeting you officially.
Oh.
So I am envious every time you post something. Like, geez, how did he get that? I love when you post stuff on Twitter. So
I'll try to keep them all coming. You know, and if anybody has questions about any Red Sox stuff that they come across, do not hesitate to hit me up on Twitter, direct message, do whatever, and I'm sure I can tell you what it is. So
yeah, guys, he's posting. What do you post? At least 2 or 3 times a day.
Usually that's one of the first things I do when I get up. So my post the first one usually goes anytime between 3:30 and 4:30 in the morning.
Yep.
I have it written the night before and I just hit send in the morning. And then usually later in the day, it's, any kind of mail days or trade or stuff that guys send me, or I'll post it, as a thank you or whatnot. And any cool things all day long from any of my other buddies out there, I'll just retweet it or make a comment or pass on the good word. Sort of try to do.
Well, I appreciate it, Mark. I really enjoy your post, and it's a pleasure to finally talk to you and talk to someone that has the same passion. You're a little more crazy than I am.
Nah. My wife said, ask Jeff how I can get you to stop buying stuff. I said, well, his wife probably has the same conversation with him. So.
I'm addicted to eBay. My wife is just like, no, stop already. Stop bringing stuff in the house. We don't have any more room.
Right. Well, we always managed to find room. So I appreciate you having me on.
They're only little cards.
Yeah, exactly. It's little cards. They add up, but they're little cards. So.
All right. Well, you please keep in touch. Hopefully this COVID thing will be over so we can have again in the...
Yeah, we'll get a bunch of us together and head up to the Shriners and have a day of it.
Yep. Well, now that we have our contact information, if you're up in this area or I'm down in your area, I'll certainly reach out. And when you get your stuff set up, I'd love to come down.
Oh, definitely. I'll have you over. Definitely.
All right. All right, Mark.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, buddy. Bye, thanks.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I have been your host of the program. I want to thank Mr. Mark Hoyle for joining us today. It was great to talk Red Sox with a fellow passionate collector, so hopefully you enjoyed our interview. Our next show will be next Sunday, November 8th. So tune in for that. As always, I want to thank you, the listener, for hanging in there. We had a little long show today because we had a long interview with Mr. Hoyle. And with that, I will want to wish you many happy returns. We'll see you next week.